and part of the joy of my role with the church is helping connect us and celebrate the ways that we are a church in mission. And that's part of what this morning and this weekend is all about. I know many of you got to go out yesterday and serve in our community. If you're still looking for ways to go out and serve in your community here, I would love to talk with you about how God might be leading you to serve. And this morning, we're thinking about that part of our vision as a church, that we are changed by grace, that amazing grace, that we are living, loving, and serving with Jesus, that we are meant to be a people together, a people with one another. And we are so excited that this morning we have one of our ministry partners with us to bring the word. Deep Time Ministries. How many of you have gotten any coffee back there yet this morning? Anyone filled up your coffee cup? The coffee you're drinking is from Deep Time Ministries, so you've already been blessed by their ministry if you've had some coffee. If not, go get some. But Deep Time is one of our newest mission partners. Oh, y'all can sit down. Sorry, I realized y'all just standing there. sit down. So Deep Time is one of our newest ministry partners, and it is a ministry that one of the people who helped get started, Dustin Mailman, is someone who has a long history with our church. Dustin was a student at App and got involved with Boone UMC during his time there. He was also part of the Wesley Foundation at App. And as he'll tell you, this church is part of what helped launch him out into this ministry journey of being with others that he's on. And Dustin is joined today by GA, one of the other leaders with Deep Time, who is the Minister of Social Enterprise. And friends, we are going to hear, what is it that God is doing through this ministry, but also what is God calling us to do as we seek to be with one another? So I want to invite Dustin and GA to come on up, and let's welcome them. And I invite you to open your hearts and to listen as they share what Jesus has been doing in their lives, but also, yes, what Jesus is doing here among us now.
It's so good to be here with y'all this morning. As Laura said, I have deep roots here. I was a college student, so I didn't get to church regularly on Sunday, but I would chop wood on Saturday mornings, and I'd worship in the jail and at Boone Saloon on Sundays, and I was involved with the Wesley Foundation, and it seems like everywhere I turned, Boone UMC poured into who I was. If it wasn't for this church taking a chance on me and paying me to work with King Street Church, I don't know that I'd have a laboratory to explore who I was as a pastor. And it's because y'all believe in what it means to be missional in this world, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, that this opportunity was presented. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a gift to be back here with y'all. This morning, we'll be reading from Philippians 2, chapters 1 through 18. If then there is any comfort in Christ, any consolation from love, any partnerships in the Spirit, any tender affection and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness and being found in appearance as a human. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name given to Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work on your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world, holding forth the word of life, so that I can boast on the day of Christ, I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice in the service of your faith, I rejoice, and I rejoice together with all of you. In the same way, also, you should rejoice and rejoice together with me. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, you are already here. May we have the courage to cooperate with you and pay attention to the ways in which you are making us holy in this space. Allow this word from Philippians and the words that will come from Philippians shape our hearts. May we see clearly how you are working in our midst, and may there be just a glimpse of your kingdom exposed through the work of Deep Time. Thank you for the gift that is missional collaboration, and thank you for the gift that is Boone United Methodist Church, who shows up over and over and over again for those who are struggling most in our midst. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I have a rhetorical question for y'all. What does the good news of Jesus Christ have to say to those whose backs are against the wall? Again, what does the good news of Jesus Christ have to say to those whose backs are against the wall? This was the question that pierced Howard Thurman in his side when he was asked while teaching a course in India. Howard Thurman was a pastor and a prophet and an educator who shaped folks like Martin Luther King Jr., Rabbi Shachter Shalomi, Pauli Murray, these kind of giants of civil rights. And he was pierced with this question: what does the good news of Jesus Christ have to say for those whose backs are against the wall? He was teaching a class on religious formation and prayer, and a student approached him and said, "You are a black man and a Christian. How can you believe in the God that emboldened folks to enslave your ancestors?" He was dumbfounded. He had no response. He wanted to point at Paul. He wanted to point at white supremacy, but he had nothing to say. He chewed on this question: what does the good news of Jesus have to say to those whose backs are against the wall? He chewed and he chewed and he chewed, and it got clear, and he wrote a book. It's called Jesus and the Disinherited. In this book, Jesus and the Disinherited, it catalyzed the civil rights movement. It showed folks a clear glimpse of what the task of Jesus is and how Jesus is good news for everyone, not a couple of people. Paul, while sitting in a prison cell, was wrestling with this similar question, shackled with just a writing utensil and parchment paper. He was asking, what does it mean to follow Jesus while my back is against this wall, while I am shackled for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Philippians is a complicated piece of scripture, mostly because we have to locate ourselves with what was going on at the time in order to get a sense of what Paul was saying. These folks who were bound by law did not know what to do with this Paul who has found freedom in Christ. So they did what they could to incarcerate him, to snuff out his voice, to snuff out the gospel. But it is there that Paul found, though I have everything taken from me, I have everything because Jesus is with me. Folks draw a line in this text to the very beginning of creation. When Paul speaks about humility, it's a Greek word that is used. It's hummus, not mashed up chickpeas like you eat now, but hummus, earthiness. It's alluding to the very dirt that God breathed into in order to bring life. Paul is saying that's what Jesus is calling us to move low and to be as Jesus is, because if God chose flesh in order to teach us what salvation might look like, why aren't we going deeper and deeper into our flesh? I'm going to take off pastor hat for a second, and I'm going to put on my public health hat. When we're thinking about what it means to go deeper and deeper into our flesh, we have to consider this reality called the social determinants of health. Could you raise your hand if you've heard of the social determinants of health? One hand. GA, put your hand down. So one hand back here. Could you voice out loud what are the social determinants of health as you understand them? There's no right or wrong answer. Well, there are some, but you're... Yeah, that's beautiful. Round of applause. Thank you. So that was a good kind of meta level. It's the intangibles of what it means to be well, having community, not just having a roof over your head, but having a safe, consistent place to live, having access to good quality food, having access to health care. Public health experts and policymakers almost always admit, even though the big pie charts you'll see in public health textbooks have it, is connection to a spiritual community. Not just a connection to God, but a connection to a spiritual community, to where folks can be tethered in who they are as a person of faith and gathered around a community of interdependence. I have another rhetorical question. How does that not just sound like church? How are the social determinants of health, how have they been punted to these so-called experts when all that they are is what the church is called to? Clothing the naked and feeding the hungry and housing those without a home, setting the captive free. How has the church punted ministry to the state, the very folks that landed Paul in prison? This is the question that Deep Time fundamentally asked. What's it mean to be missional, but in a way that is transformational and not just transactional? How are we not just writing a check, but making sure someone is working for a check and able to invest in themselves? We use social enterprise, which is doing business for social good, by way of specialty coffee roasting. We have some bags for sale over there if you want to smell them. It's not run-of-the-mill, dark roast, gross stuff. It's good coffee because we believe that all of the inherent worth that is within every single person who works with us, which is returning citizens, who's in ministry with us, that should be reflected in what we're offering to our community. Deep Time celebrates and employs and creates spiritual community with folks who are impacted by incarceration. And this morning, I have Deep Time's very first employee, Timothy Underwood, here with us, who is our minister of social enterprise. He has a bold word to offer about this scripture, but he has a story that the church needs to hear. Could y'all give GA a round of applause?
You stole my pitch, man. Man, I stole my pitch. I wanted to say celebrate, employ, and create spiritual community. But now you had to go there, didn't you? So I'm finna finish it off for you. So we believe that through faith, vision, and entrepreneurship, the equity, story, and opportunity can be restored. Did you say that? Hey, my name is Timothy Underwood. My friends call me GA, and I am the Minister of Social Enterprise. He gave me that title. Yeah, he gave me that title. I was like, man, just call me a faithful servant or something. Then, yeah, Minister of Social Enterprise. Okay, that sounds professional. Hey, I just want to shake things up a little bit because that's the type of person I am. That's the type of person I am. Do anybody know what a war cry is? Let's give off a war cry this morning just to shake up the grounds. Just to shake it up. My war cry is hallelujah! Can we get a hallelujah up in here? Can we get a hallelujah? They give God some praise. Come on now. They give God some praise. Yes. You know, deep time is also about a close relationship with God and community. Without community, I won't be here. It's there ain't no telling what I'd be. Matter of fact, I might still be in prison because I was one of the persons that was impacted by incarceration as well. I did 15 and a half years. I've been out for a little bit over a year and a half. Had a year in employment through this other company called Eastport Pottery. They do second chance employment. Then after I fulfilled out my year over there, because I told them I just want to stay with y'all because I appreciate the opportunity that they gave me, I decided to come in with Destiny, which is the favorite coffee roasting company and ministry. Put in some good, awesome work in the glory of God, humble servants. But doing this type of work, I cannot do it if I don't put on Christ. I got to be able to put on Christ to be able to do this work because I can probably be trusting in my own heart. You know what I'm saying? Leaning into my own understanding of things. Not following his will. Just doing the things that will cause me to please myself or lift me up to a standard as if, you know what I'm saying, I made it all possible for myself. You know, the scriptures tell us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, they say, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness in mind, meekness, long suffering. And that's what we try to do. We try to exemplify, we try to embody what Paul was expressing to us in Philippians chapter 2. When he said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, if there be any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. We know we have a variety of people up in here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we see that. You know what I'm saying? We have some big and small, short and tall, you know, big feet, small feet, you know, all types of people. But we also the same in Christ Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Christ don't see you individually. He see the Spirit of God that is within you. So when I see my family up in here, I see the Spirit of God that is within you. So there's some tools that he gave us in those scriptures. There's some tools that he gave us. He gave us the tool of encouragement. Without y'all embracing me, I wouldn't be able to stand in front of you right now to this day. I might be scared. I might be timid a little bit. I might be drawn back a little bit because, you know, first impressions is everything. And when somebody's showing you some hospitality and when they're embracing you and showing you love, you know what I'm saying, it gives you the kind of comfort that you need to come out forward, you know what I'm saying, and to be able to share yourself, you know, to get acquainted with that individual that you may be able to, Lord willing, have a rapport with that individual. So encouragement in Christ is everything. Because it tells me I do not have the spirit of fear. I have the power of love. I have the spirit of... Help me out here. Huh? Yes?
A strong mind.
Stole mine. That's right. My man know his scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Yeah, but a spirit of power and a love and of a sound mind. That's what it's all about. So I appreciate the love that y'all have given me. But he also gave us that comfort of love. I need to have that peace. I need to have that rest each day in the love that God has given me. So I can be able to give it to somebody else. So in the midst of the chaotic world that we might be in throughout that time, I can be able to provide the same thing for that individual as well. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And when God gives to me, I like to distribute it back out there into society and also to my people to encourage them, to uplift them, to be the strength that they need that they might not have in Jesus Christ at that moment. And you know, whenever we pray, what do? We slay. It is written. Yeah. He up under that footstool. You know what I'm saying? I'm 8 times stomping the demon whenever I get a chance. 8 times stomping. That's right. 8 times stomping them. Yeah. So he give us encouragement. He give us that peace and that rest in his love. He also give us that fellowship in the spirit. That's what we have amongst each other. It starts with this community first. Then we can be able to go out into the world, let our light shine, that they may see our good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Amen. No man has seen God at any time. I haven't seen him yet, because Jesus said, God is a spirit. Yeah, and the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So that person that don't have a relationship with God, he can see God through us by the love that we have for one another and that we can have for our people out there. When we loving God with our whole being and we loving our neighbors as ourselves. In that so being, what do the community need? Especially when we're talking about social and public determinants of health. They need hope. They need hope. People out there confused, man. They confounded. Man, I'm telling you. They suppressed, depressed, under the oppression of the God of this world. And we know who the God of this world is. Yeah, he want to ship and shape. He want to come into the church, try to deceive us. So we won't be able to embrace one another, love for each other, pray for one another. So we won't do the things that Christ Jesus did for all of us. Yeah, he want us to be divided. He want us to be divided. But the world tells us there is no difference with the Jews or the Greeks, male or female, bondage or free. But we all one in Christ Jesus. If God be for us, who can be against us? Yeah. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, I refuse to lose. You know what I'm saying? Even at the time when I'm down, I'm still up. For when I am weak, in Christ I am strong. So, we go out there into the community. We embrace the community. Introduce ourselves to the community. But first, we got to take care of our own house. And that's the people that within our program. You know what I'm saying? They go through a sojourner program from 3 to 9 months?
6 to 9 months.
Yeah, 6 to 9 months. And you know, we don't know what type of space that they coming from. We don't know where they coming from. But we meet them where they at so they can be where we are. So they can come in there. They can be encouraged. They can be uplifted. So they can keep their head high. You know what I'm saying? So they can do the things which God want to work inside of them so they can be able to please the Lord. Some of them condemn themselves. The word tells us if we condemn ourselves, God is greater than our hearts and know all things. But we condemn not ourselves, we have confidence in Christ Jesus. And whatsoever we ask, we shall receive of him. Because we please him and do those things that is utmost upright, upstanding unto his eyes. You know what I'm saying? So we aim to be God pleasers first. We don't aim to be man pleasers. It starts with God, then we come into the community. Community, they see us, and they probably see, oh man, they some holy rollers. You know what I'm saying? There's some old Bible thumpers and stuff like that, too. We introduced them to that coffee. You know, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Yeah. You're going to taste this word, but first we're going to give you a sip of this coffee. You know what I'm saying? It's a horchata latte made by some of our sojourners. Now they're in a leadership position, and they doing their thing, and they doing it right. Oh, they love the coffee. I wish I would have brought some of the latte up in here. Really. I wish I would have brought it, because you would have loved it, too. You know what I'm saying? Courtesy of Nita. But anyway, we provide the coffee for the people in our community so they can get familiar with what we got going on. You know what I'm saying? We community engagers. You know what I mean? You might not come to us, but I'll meet you where you at. You know what I'm saying? If you in traffic, I will come to your car literally and say, what's up? You know what I'm saying? In the midst of a red light. Like, no cap, I will do that. You know what I'm saying? I would do anything by any means to get your attention so I can share with you what we got going on. And some of them keep on going, yeah, so be it, you know what I'm saying? I do what Jesus do. I wipe the dust off my feet, and I keep it moving too, you know what I'm saying? I might see you some other time, but so be it. The ministry got to continue. The ministry got to continue. But it's not all about us being identical, you know what I'm saying? It's all about us having that humble attitude. You know what I'm saying? That self-serving love in Christ Jesus. That's what we want to give. We want to give love because God is love. God is love. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we want to produce out there into the world. And that's why we aim to reduce recidivism, generational trauma, and inner wounds through the profession of roasting coffee. Because some of them, they don't have the income. They might not have the finance to be able to take care of the things that they need to take care of. So they revert back to an old lifestyle and a habit and thinking they're going to take care of himself. But no, we're going to give you something better. We're going to give you something that supersedes some of the stuff that keep you down. You know what I'm saying? That keep you in bondage. You know what I'm saying? We're going to give you the opportunity to be employed with deep time. That's if you haven't been impacted by incarceration. And we're going to give you something even better than that. The riches, the true heaven in heaven. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We're going to give you some Christ Jesus. Amen. I might not quote scripture to you, but I sure am going to live it out. I'm going to live it out in front of your face, one way or another. So that's what we provide out here. You know what I'm saying? We D-time, we're a faith-based coffee roasting company and a ministry. We community engagers, you know what I'm saying? We brothers and sisters, you know what I'm saying? We friends, and we even love our enemies. We try to fill out what the grace has to say to you. He said, ye have heard that it have been said. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But Jesus said, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and send it rain on the just and on the unjust. So it shows how good God is. He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil as well. Because once upon a time, guess what? I was the enemy of his too. So we are D-time, we outside, we providing coffee, and we also providing love. And a ministry for people to be accepted, you know what I'm saying, for where they at, so they can be transformed, so eventually they'll be transformed by the renewing of their mind as well. Thank you.
So church, I need to ask you, what does the good news of Jesus Christ have to say to those whose backs are against the wall? What does the good news of Jesus Christ have to say to those whose backs are against the wall? GA's already modeled it for us this morning, but I think Father Greg Boyle says it best. When we are able to see each other the way that God sees us, that is when we know we have made it. When we are able to see one another as precious children of God, worthy of health, worthy of salvation, worthy of community, of being well, that is where we begin to find the good news of Jesus Christ for those whose backs are against the wall. Crossroads, it's been a gift to be with you this morning. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.